Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, welcome back, people. Welcome back, all my brothers and sisters. What one heck of a show. What one heck of a first hour. I'm going to spend just a minute recapping what happened the first hour because it was such, I don't know if it's a miracle, but it was pretty close. The way Sam put, let me tell you what happened. Our brother Rich Hamlin has gone to South Africa to be with our other brother, Simon Roach. There were two of the brothers that were at Charlottesville, Virginia with us last August. We have two other brothers coming on to be to the second hour with us tonight. I'll introduce them in just a second. But what happened was, like we said, Simon is over there with Rich. Rich and his wife went to South Africa about 2 weeks ago. We've had them on 3 weeks in a row reporting what's going on in South Africa. Anybody that's not living under a rock will know that they were in very, very, very dangerous situation over there. That country could go up like a match tinderbox any second. The people they're in danger of being exterminated. As a matter of fact, the black government and the black people over there said that they are going to exterminate them. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. That's where we are. Anyway, we had to tape an interview today. The first time I've ever taped an interview in my life. Sam's been doing it forever. I messed up pretty bad earlier. I went over about 8 minutes in the interview, and Sam, I don't know how in the world he does what he does. I don't know if you know it or not. I don't think Sam reminds me of saying it, but Sam is totally blind in how he does this. I mean, two normal sighted people, couldn't do any better how he did. But anyway, he did it. He got it crammed in. You people, you only missed about a minute of the last interview, mainly me just rambling along. But what happened was we did tape them because the reason we taped it is because Rich has to leave South Africa early Sunday morning. Right now it's past midnight there. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning. He has to come home tomorrow. Okay, so that's what you did. You listened to that interview. I hope you will appreciate what I did, and especially appreciate what Sam did. He moved heaven and earth to do that. And it's very, very hard to tape an interview, especially with the other jobs that Sam has. He's a miracle worker. And with that, let me give you a quick introduction. You all know Matt Goodwin, my co-host, my wonderful, rock-solid co-host. You couldn't want a better co-host. He is a member of the League of the South. The other guest we got coming on tonight is Ike Baker. He's an officer with the League of the South, and we're going to talk about a few subjects. I'll let you know what we're going to talk about in just a minute, but I'm depending on my young brain, Matt Goodwin, to help me guide this interview tonight with our brother Ike Baker. Matter of fact, Ike isn't just a member of the League of the South. Ike is an officer, and he is a right-hand man of the commander of the League of the South, Dr. Michael Hill. And with that, Ike, if you will, Mike, excuse my stuttering, I'm really excited from that first hour in this hour here. Give us a quick biography of your past and your present, and your part you've taken in an activist, being fighting for your Christian white people in America, and specifically zeroing in on what you have done with the League of the South as one of Dr. Hill's right-hand men. And carry it away, Ike.
I'll be glad to do that. I've been a white identitarian really all my life. I was raised in that sort of household. I never was fed dispensationalist or Schofield lies. I've known about the JQ for as long as I can remember. I found various ways to express that through the years. Several years ago, would have been, I believe, 6 or 8 years ago in this county, we elected a constitutional sheriff. He was looking for some former military individuals to involve themselves in a sheriff's posse, which is something that exists under Kentucky law. I involved myself in that, in the constitutional cause, I guess you'd say. I joined the League here in Kentucky, and it was a time of slightly less kinetic operations, I think would be the fairest way to put it. A few times a year or several times a year, we would go to a small town or a secondary road outside a small town or a not so small town, Hazard, Kentucky, Harlan, Kentucky, Alexandria, Kentucky. And we'd pass out our free magnolias and talk to people and put the Southern Cross, our Black Cross flag in the wind and then go sit and eat barbecue somewhere. I made some great friends, some great compatriots, and then Pikeville happened. And it happened in confluence with things as they changed in this culture and changed in this society, and an element made themselves known called Antifa. And Antifa were the ones who felt it was their right to shout down the Donald Trump supporters during that campaign. They liked to thump on people wearing those red hats and so on and so forth. And the League, along with our allies at the time in the Nationalist Front, the Traditionalist Worker Party, National Socialist Movement, and Vanguard America, we decided to have a rally in Pikeville. And for the first time, I got to see Antifa up close and personal. Eddie, they're the forces of darkness in this culture camp, in this culture war that we fight. We're the forces of light. We're the people of light. And I drove home from Pikeville that night knowing that things had changed in me. I actually wrote an essay shortly after that called Band of Brothers. Dr. Hill saw fit to publish it in the Free Magnolia. It's out there if anyone would like to read it. It's just one man's thoughts. Dr. Hill did know my background. I was a Marine many years ago, and he allowed me to do the operational planning for Pikeville, and I tried to be very thorough. I really didn't want to embarrass him for giving me this responsibility. I drove out to Pikeville and did my reconnaissance. Myself and my state chairman, we'd spent many, many hours interpreting aerial photographs and things of that nature. Our state chairman is a soldier in the recent Wars of the Empire with the 101st Airborne. I have tremendous respect for Spencer, for a young man who's half my age in chronological years, but wise beyond his years because of what he's seen. Well, Pikeville went well, and next on the horizon was Charlottesville, which many of us were at. We very carefully planned that. We knew very well that the plan would disintegrate pretty well on first contact with the enemy. It did disintegrate. We were double-crossed by law enforcement, double-crossed by every level of civil government. I think some scales fell away from some eyes that day, Eddie. And after the dust settled from Charlottesville, Dr. Hill and Michael Tubbs, our chief of staff, they made an announcement that I was appointed chief of operations for the League of the South. And to have chief in the title of a billet in an organization such as the League that's Anglo-Celt in nature, I understood the significance of that. And as I tell Dr. Hill often, I just try every day not to embarrass him for appointing me to such a position. And frankly speaking, to have the opportunity to plan these operations and have the responsibility for carefully crafting various scenarios based on contingencies that may or may not ever happen, it's reawakened something in me that it laid dormant.
Hold that thought, Ike. We got the music coming up. Hold that thought. I've got to interrupt you. We've got to go pay some bills for Liberty News. So we'll be right back, people. Hang on. This is another first-class interview, so don't go anywhere. Be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, welcome back to the second part of the second hour show tonight. Before we go back to Ike, I'm just going to let Ike know we have Matt Goodwin tonight on with us.
Hey,
he's
Ike.
my right-hand man. And Matt's going to pretty much drive the rest of this interview. He's going to be kind of like take my spot. So he has some questions for you. But before we go to Matt, I'd just like to say, I remember that speech you gave, talk you gave in Charlottesville at the top of that compound where we were. And I'll never forget that, the stuff you said. I think you did a great job. And with that, I'm going to shut up. And I think Matt's got a few questions. And we were going to talk about, also, Matt, I told Matt tonight, we were going to talk about, one of the things I think you wanted to talk about is how can we get these cucks back in, these people that have sold their race out. Is there any hope for bringing them back into the circle? And with that, I'm going to shut up. Matt, do you have any questions for Ike before he takes off again?
Yeah, so like you mentioned about the scales falling off of all of our eyes at Charlottesville. We might have gone all gone to Charlottesville as a group of different groups, different factions of men. But after that, we were pretty much a unified brotherhood after that.
Absolutely.
Because I'm going to tell you, anyone that was there knows exactly what happened. My question to you, what is our path forward with the league, and what are we doing, and what's our plans for 2019, and where are we taking this?
All right. Well, actually, that's a very good question. I'm glad you asked me that. Dr. Hill and I actually spoke last week. We had some one-on-one, face-to-face time in South Kentucky at a meeting place that we've located and used several times now. The league is going to rebuild and recruit. It's well known that some of our weak have fallen away, and I don't say that as a value statement. It's just a fact. The heat's been turned up, and they chose to get themselves away from the flame. As he said when I brought that up, it's good that we learn this now rather than later. Now, so where we'll go, a prime objective is to rebuild, recruit. We've got some specific ideas how to do that, to target exactly the type of men and women that we want. And what I believe that is, and he and I seem to be in great agreement on this, is we need Southern white nationalists. We don't really find useful the Southern heritage individual, that's the SCV. We less said about them, the better. They're never going to join us out on the barricades, at least until they're forced to, because they'll be forced out of their comfort zone at some point. Because I've identified something that you may see the merit in this. Every Southern nationalist is a white nationalist. Every white nationalist, however, is not a Southern nationalist. So we need that man and that woman who see white nationalism and Southern nationalism as inextricably intertwined, because they are. Without white civilization, there won't be any Southern civilization left. We can't stand completely alone. It's just not possible. A friend of mine pointed something out recently, Matt. Our cities, our once great cities, are in no better shape than the once great Northern cities. We joke about Detroit, justifiably so. Well, there's a reason Memphis is called Memfrica, isn't there?
True.
Absolutely.
Send your wife or your mother or your grandmother or your daughters shopping in downtown Atlanta with intentions to come home after a late supper. Atlanta being what it is, you may very well not get them back. And a lot of our cities are like that. So Southern nationalism is a great and noble cause, but we've got to appeal to that Southern nationalist who sees white nationalism as the cause of the day for our people. Now, where the league will go with this, obviously, we won't get into operational details on your radio program, but I can tell you this. Our presence is going to become known at some very significant places, one that we discussed that we're going to do openly. The Silent Sam travesty on the campus of the University of North Carolina is just, it's a crime that defies description, and the league will be there. And we will be there under color of a permit, which is not always how we do things, and we will publicize this in advance. And we do intend to go and put the black cross in the wind at the place where Silent Sam stood for so many years. Other places, well, do you recall last summer we went and took possession of the Selma Bridge for a time, right in the middle of our conference?
I saw that.
There are going to be other icons of the civil rights and desegregation movement that are going to be taken possession of by us. Obviously, those things do need to be kept close to the vest. In the middle of our brethren last summer, we still didn't talk about that at all outside the 25 or 30 people who were actually taking part in the operation, because something I know I'm able to bring to the table is a concern for operational security, and it served us very well in the past. I actually tried to impart that principle to our allies in the Nationalist Front before we left that esteemed conglomerate. I had mixed success, but we won't be abandoning the principle of operational security, personnel security, things like that. It's just part of getting better and more professional.
I've got a quick question, and I'll let you answer it to Matt, because I want Matt to drive this show tonight,
okay.
The interview. Okay. You know, we had Dr. Hill on a couple of weeks ago, and I was saying, and being the devil's advocate, I said I for one would love Southern nationalism, but you know, the hardcore fact is that white people are a minority in the South. Dr. Hill pointed out that in the state of Alabama, there's probably, I think he said about 70% white. But I came back, I was talking to Matt, and I'm going to shut up after this. I was saying, but the problem is 70% of those white, if they're anything like Memphis, Tennessee, you're going to be lucky out of that 70% white if you can get a third of those that see eye to eye with us that aren't cooks. Now, with that, I'm going to shut up. And Matt, you finish, take up where Ike leaves off.
Now, if I may, I'm going to touch on what you brought up just a little bit there, Eddie. We're looking at the situation as it exists now. A lot of people remain very comfortable. We don't, as Southern nationalists, involve ourselves really deeply in the politics of the federal government. However, when Donald Trump got elected, I think a lot of people, even Southerners, thought, well, he'll make everything all right again. Well, no one can make everything all right again from Washington. There was quite a few who would have loved to have seen Mrs. Clinton get elected, because that woman would have turned the heat up with all her paws on the levers of federal power. These people who are right now comfortable and aren't rallying to us because they have SEC football, which is a bane on Southern existence at this point. They've got the NFL. They've got pop culture. They've got their Talmud vision in their living room, pumping their brains full of Jewish filth. Well, they won't remain comfortable indefinitely, because we're undergoing the same population replacement as everywhere else in the country, and there's going to come a point where their beloved conservatives and their beloved Republicans just can't be elected. And at that point, I have to say I've got the utopia of hope, brothers. I do believe the spirit of our people will ignite in them, and they will rally to us. But for the time being, it's a numbers game that, frankly, we're not doing well at.
Absolutely. I want to encourage people who might be listening. Politics changes. It ebbs and flows. And whatever your enemies are trying to destroy you with, your politics might have to change to negotiate that. And my question is, has the League of the South taken any type of position on politics, or are we just basically saying we're trying to curb white genocide right now?
That's the second thing. We don't officially take a position in the politics of the federal system. We do encourage our people to be involved in the politics on the local level and even up to the state level. But federal politics, politics at the national level, frankly speaking, I think we've all got better things to occupy our time and our minds with. I think Trump bought us some time, because with the hands of Hillary Clinton on all the levers of federal power, we all know what a rendition is. I believe some of our leaders would have just vanished and been renditioned right out of here to be interrogated somewhere.
This is a phenomenal interview.
Hey, guys, we're going to have to continue this when we come back. We hear the music. We're coming to a break. Hold that thought. Y'all don't forget anything you're talking about. And our beloved listeners, our beloved Blood River Radio family, hang on to your seats. We'll be right back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa. America, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian Brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Well, people, we're right back. Going back to this riveting interview, I'm going to go right back to Ike. But before we go, I got a note from James Edwards, Ike. He told me to tell you that he's listening to the show and that you are knocking out of the park. You're doing great. He said to tell you hello for him. That's James Edwards told me to tell you that, Ike. And before we go back to you,
please pass my greetings back to James. I haven't seen him since Wetumpka last summer.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm supposed to eat with him this next week. We're supposed to have eaten lunch. We do it every week, but it's been so busy. Both of us have been just so tied up. You know, I know people like to say we're busy, but we really have been busy. I'm here to tell you. Ike, before we go back to Matt, I'm going to throw something out there that I've talked about for years. Sam Bushman's talked about for years. Matter of fact, I did a talk on it back in 2014. Sam Bushman is a great constitutionalist as I am. A lot of people have knocked the Constitution, but it's not the Constitution that failed us. We failed the Constitution. Here's where I think we should go. I'm going to throw this to you and let you and Matt bat this around. What we need in this country, you talk about politics. Well, the political system has failed because we have failed ourselves. We don't have the men we used to have. Here's what we need to do. My grandfather, Davis, who was born in the Oklahoma and Indian Territory in 1886, he would tell you the same thing Sam said, the same thing I'm telling you. What we have to do as far as politics, it all has to start at the county with men. I'm not talking about these boys from the alt-right. I'm talking about men. I'm talking about electing a constitutional sheriff, the constitutional sheriff you referred to earlier. Ike, I think I know who you're talking about. We need a constitutional sheriff with a constitutional posse / constitutional militia, as I've talked about in the Constitution of the United States. We also need a constitutional grand jury, a constitutional prosecutor, and we need to keep we the people informed in the county. Everything has to start at the county level. If we do that, and we need to go back on Article 10 of the Constitution, so to speak, and just nullify all this unconstitutional Zionist Jewish crap that comes down the line. With that, now I'm going to shut up and throw that back to you, Ike. And when Ike gets through, Matt, chime in, son. Take it away, guys.
Well, frankly, I'm not a big fan of the U.S. Constitution simply because it's what it has allowed to happen to the Southland. Not to parse it out, because hopefully we'll have the opportunity to form a whole new government in a free and independent Southland. I hope and pray to live to see that. And we'll form our own founding documents. And there's nothing wrong with using a framework of the Constitution. There are some fabulous inalienable rights acknowledged, certainly in the Bill of Rights. But I'd like to see something with more of the elements of the Articles of Confederation in it, because I believe that it's the Constitution that was used, possibly wrongly, by Mr. Lincoln to force us back into the Union at bayonet point. I believe that a founding document more along the lines of the Articles of Confederation would have acknowledged that free and sovereign states are free to leave an association of states. Now, that's where I stand on the Constitution. However, I did write a check to the government of the empire one time, up to and including my life, to defend that Constitution, so there's that.
Well, you know...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, you know, in the preamble of the Constitution, which is the Declaration of Independence, and I'm not preaching, I'm going to shut up because I know Matt believes exactly what you do, a line item. You know, in the preamble of the Constitution, which is the Declaration of Independence, it says that, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident. We know the three, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And anytime these governments become, this government comes detrimental to the people, I'm paraphrasing, it's the right, it's the duty of the people to fix that government or tear it down and start a new government that is more amiable to we the people. And that's, so that's in the preamble of the Constitution. That's in the Declaration of Independence. It gives us the right to start new government. So that's my devil's advocate. Back to you, Ike and Matt.
Well, I'll tell you, mine is, I believe in an ever-changing view. Like, I am a true conservative in the sense that if you have a tyrannical monarchy, you need some sort of constitutional body. If you have a tyrannical constitutional body, you like to get to a republic. If the republic's failing you, then a confederacy would be good. Right now, in our current situation, I'm a national socialist because that's just my personal view of what we need to get back into any type of normal frame of mind. But the reality is, I feel like, everything changes as the people that are oppressing you change. I kind of take the viewpoint of Thomas Jefferson, if I'm really honest with y'all. What do you think about that? I mean, he kind of thought everybody should be in almost a perpetual state of overthrowing tyranny.
Well, he's the one who made the quote about the Tree of Liberty requiring the blood of patriots and tyrants every generation, or every couple of generations. I misquoted him. By the way, I'd like to mention, Matt, I'm also a National Socialist. That's fairly well known about me. Not in any way a Strasserist, as our erstwhile colleague Matthew Heimbach is. He and I have discussed that some recently. I'm an Orthodox National Socialist. I'm not a Third Reich fetishist at all. I just believe that the people's community, that Volksgemeinschaft, is the way any blood and soil nation should best be governed. And it only will work in a blood and soil nation. I've used the analogy. It's a big loving family raised to the national level. I'll go withdraw $1,000 from the bank and send it to a white working man down in Louisiana after a hurricane hits because I want to help my own. I have nothing for the other at all, nothing. So I'm an Orthodox National Socialist with far more of a racialist aspect to that than a Strasserist would have. I don't believe in class warfare.
What is the point of a society where the people don't work together? You might as well be living off on your own in a cabin in the woods if your people do not work together with each other. Anyway, that's my opinion, and that's why I take the views that I do. But really, ultimately, I'm the Thomas Jefferson type that believes, in many different types of forms of government can work together. You know, I've got another question for you. You mentioned earlier about the Antifa. A lot of people need to understand that's an old institution. It didn't just come up in the past few years. It comes from the word Antifaschisten, which was in a German word. These people were communists when Adolf Hitler was coming to power, and they were destroying Germany, and that's why the NSDAP rose up to power. So what is your opinion of right now who these Antifa you mentioned are working for?
Well, they're working for any globalist out there who can fund them. I'm as convinced that the hands of George Soros is all over this as can possibly be. I mean, we know what globalism is. We know globalism, Judaism, and communism are really interchangeable terms.
And Satanism.
Absolutely.
Satan is running them all. That's just my opinion. I'm sorry. I couldn't shut up. I'll go continue on.
I've been J-woke for almost 50 years. I can sit and talk about the Jewish question all you'd like to. But they're behind every aspect of this because they must tear down white culture, because white culture is their one impediment to a polyglot mass of humanity that they can rule through their chicanery, their sophistry. I heard a quote recently, if a Jew tells the truth, it's only to set up a bigger lie for later. You know, they are the forces of darkness in this struggle. We are the people of light. We have always been the people of light. I saw a meme the other day. It said, our taxes and our abilities could have brought us space stations and colonies on Mars and cures for diseases and alternative energies. Instead, it brought us Africans. Now, who's behind that? Who's behind everything? I mean, were you fellas in the room when I gave that talk last summer in Wetumpka? I laid out point by point who pulls the strings on everything that's counter to our culture, that's counter to everything that's good and right and pure for our people. They're behind everything. Everything, literally. But these influences, as nefarious as they are, they can be overcome. Eddie, you and I discussed something the other day, and we decided to kind of leave it alone so we could discuss it a little bit here on the air. You know, I'm a great fan of Dr. Pierce. I'm so sorry he left us, but we all have our time on this earthly plane. His ran out and he's gone, but his words live forever. He gave a wonderful talk just entitled Leadership, and he specifically addresses how we bring back our lost white people, our lost white men, our lost white women, young, not so young, whatever. And good leadership can do this. And there's very few of these people who can't be salvaged, who can't be brought back to us. On NSM radio several months ago, Gunnar and I spent an hour on this topic. When, if at all, can a white person not be brought back into the fold? And after a long and sometimes excruciating discussion, we came to the conclusion that there was only one instance, and that's a white woman who's carried a colored child in her womb, giving it birth. She's lost to us. Now, one of Billy's people down in Arkansas, he believes that the man who fathers a colored child is equally as lost. I don't happen to agree with that, but that's an honest disagreement between brethren. We can bring these people back with that one exception, with good, solid leadership. I have to be candid, not because I'm one of the leaders in the league, but because the league has such solid leadership is why I'm there.
Going to a break here, Ike. Hold that thought. When we come back, I'll have a quick question for you and Matt, but I want you to continue on with your thought as soon as we come back. People, hang on. We'll be right back with Ike and Matt in just a few minutes.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? well, do you, punk?
Well, people, we're going right back to this interview, a riveting interview. With that, I'm going to shut up and let Ike continue where he was, and I'll have a question for him in just a few minutes.
Thank you, Eddie. What I was alluding to, though, was the Dr. Pierce speech on leadership, and leadership can bring our people back into the fold. Leadership coupled with them becoming much less comfortable with their circumstances. I've said this for years. I have that utopia of hope. I do believe that the spirit of our people, which has burned for millennia, took us to the moon, would have taken us to the stars. I believe it's still there, and I believe we can tap into that. I refuse to. I won't take the black pill. I won't take the black pill right as it's being forced down my throat if that happens someday. Our people will prevail because of who we are.
You know,
Man, what do you say about that?
Sorry, Bombardier. Keep going.
That's what I was going to. I was just going to ask you what you thought to say, what you thought about that, Matt.
Well, you know, I believe it wholeheartedly. I have actually, you kind of mentioned one class of people that possibly or could never be brought back into the fold, but I'm kind of the eternal optimist, to be honest. I believe that I personally have the view that all people can be reformed and changed and brought back into the goodness of God, the grace and mercy of God. But by extension of that, not that we are God, but that specifically that we are pursuing righteousness, these people can start doing the will of God on earth here. So that's my view. That's my take. And I am the eternal optimist, though. I do believe you're right, that our people will prevail in the end. And it may not be in America, per se. It may not be in any particular, but I believe so, yes.
You know, us fellows who are getting to be a certain age, we can never know his plan, but we would sure like to see this happen in our lifetimes because you know who some of the fellows are in the league, Mr. Tubbs, myself, Dr. Hill. None of us are young men, and our time will run out at some point. I'm sure Dr. Pierce really hoped and prayed that he'd live to see a great awakening of our people. It hasn't happened, and he's been gone now for a number of years. And this is how it could play out for us, too. But if it's the will of God that I live to see it, I just want to serve my people. That's all I want to do. That's what gives my life purpose, brothers.
Amen.
Well, you know, I'm going to chime in just a second. You know, Abraham never saw the promised land. Abraham, wrote, you know, what the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians or the Galatians. He said, Abraham wished you have it all over Abraham. You have a great advantage over Abraham. He says that Abraham looked forward to what you're seeing and wished he could be here, but he wouldn't. Moses never got to the promised land. So we don't know. We're here to do our duty. The results belongs to God. And before we run out of time, I would just like to make another comment. I'm going to ask a question to you and Matt. We fight not against flesh and blood. We fight against Satan. And also, I like to say, we don't need the masses. I personally detest the masses. I'm not going to waste a lot of time on these people. My litmus test is I'll tell these cucks what's going on in South Africa, how their brothers and sisters are being killed. And if they research that, and if in 48 hours or 3 days they don't come around, I'm done with them. I'll shake the dust off my feet, and I'm through with them. I consider them my enemy. Maybe I'm just getting too old. I'm older, a lot older than you even, Ike. But, I wouldn't say even. I don't want to be that bad. Now, my question.
I caught that.
even you. But God bless you guys. I'm not trying to be too hard, but I guess I'm worn down from all their begging and pleading all the years with the council of conservative citizens, et cetera. Now, I have a question to both of y'all. It may seem like a rhetorical question, but in your own words, I want to get you, Ike, and I'm going to get Matt to also put it in his own words. We've been throwing the term around white nationalism. Ike, what is, in your own words, what is white nationalism? And after what when Ike gets through, Matt, I want you to come back and tell me your definition.
White nationalism
for the people
is a cause that espouses a white ethnic homeland for white people, for us, by us, and of us. Now, where will that be? I can't know that. I obviously hope it's the Southland. That's our land. That's the land that our people came to as settlers and forged a civilization here. Unfortunately, we've let the civilization get away from us in large part. But white nationalism promotes the cause of the white European people, We all come from one strain or another of European bloodlines. It's primarily Christian, but not only Christian. I won't disavow my heathen brothers. They're following religions that were around prior to Christian times, and they've gone back to the beliefs that sustained our people in those European forests for generation after generation after generation. We obviously hope that we'll bring them to us at some point, but I won't disavow those folks. To me, a white nationalist is any white man or woman who promotes the cause of his people above all other earthly causes and is willing to sacrifice for his brothers and sisters, up to and including the ultimate sacrifice, and desires the 14 words to be a founding principle. We must secure the existence of our people in a future for white children. Now, I don't know if that was as long or as short an answer as you wanted, but that's a white nationalist to me, brothers.
Well, that's a great answer. Well, that was so good. I'm just going to tell Matt he couldn't do any better, so we're going to go into something else. No, I was just joking, Matt. I was just before you start, Matt, we got a few more minutes. I'm just going to say, and to y'all, and I forgot to say this, maybe I'm too hardcore for my own good, but as far as recruiting the masses, you know, and I'll add this to the Bible, God never worked through the masses. God never worked through the majority. He always worked with a minority. He always used the weak to confound the strong, and he used the simple to confound the wise. And with that, people, I'm going to shut my old ignorant mouth, and I'm going to go back to Matt. And Matt, go ahead and give us your definition. I'll put you on the spot, young fellow.
Well, it's simply a racial element to our countries. We believe our territories are made up of that's first created by a religious accumulation. If you all agree on the same basic principles of religion, culture. The word culture comes from cult. It's basically your religious views. But we believe in a racial element to nations as well, and that we believe that Americans and South Africans and New Zealanders and Australians, we all and Canadians, we all come from that same European kind of stuff. And in my view, I also separate, and I can defend this, but nothing against anyone in other parts of Europe, but I also separate Eastern and Western Europe. So that's pretty much that simple. But with that, I'll ask Ike a question. Have you been following the Sightlanders in South Africa and what's going on there?
Absolutely. It breaks my heart what's happening there, and what's probably only going to get worse and then worse and then worse. Our people are going to be genocided out of there. And I think I'm speaking to some fairly informed brothers right here. There was nothing there when the Boer came to South Africa. Nothing. There were no black tribes. There was nothing except great mineral wealth and beautiful land that could be farmed, and they built a civilization. I can't remember exactly when the black tribesmen started coming in, but it was certainly within the last 100 to 125 years, I'm going to say. That's a little bit of a guess. And they've lost it all. And here's the word of caution that I'll offer about this. That's what's waiting for us if we're replaced demographically the way they've been replaced demographically there. What's happening to those people will happen here, because the black is a brutal and violent creature at heart. He cannot be tamed. What keeps him tamed is the threat of force. When that threat of force is removed, you have an intractable rebel that you can no longer control. You can only kill. And my heart bleeds for the Afrikaners. Just bleeds.
You took the words of warning right out of my mouth, and I'll add another question to that. Is the League of the South potentially setting ourselves up to be the like the Sightlanders of America, the next civil defense that helps protect our women and our children here for whites here?
Well,
guys, we got about a minute and a half, so start winding it up. We got just about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, guys.
As things develop, I think we could take that role most certainly. We've taken on an operational role of reaching out to our people. Some of the operations that were most successful for us last year were not highly kinetic. We weren't out facing off with Antifa. We went out to towns that were hugely predominantly white in the South. We went out and reached out to our people. We found a wonderful, welcoming feeling from these people. Livingston, Tennessee, Newport, Tennessee, other places we've gone, other places we're going to go this year. So, yes, I think if it's not too late to give a short answer, yes, I think we can take that role for our Southern people.
Well, you know, Ike, I'll chime in again. That was a Mao Zedong strategy, and he won. You know, the if I'm not mistaken, Mao Zedong had the countryside, had the agricultural areas and the peasant people. And I guess the more educated people in the cities, they were kind of surrounded and outgunned, of course, with help from our United States State Department, you know, backstabbing General Chiang Kai-shek. So I'm going to shut up. Matt, go back to you, son. We're coming down to the end of the hour. So
well, God bless keep going until we run us. Yeah, I would just I'm with you 100%. I know the Bombardier is too, and Blood River, y'all have our full support. Our people need this more than ever right now. So God bless y'all.
Thank y'all. God save the South.
Matt and I thank you so much. You killed it. You knocked out the park. We've got people tuning in saying how much they love your interview and how much they love Matt. I'm with two strong-hearted men here. Thank you guys so much for being my brothers, being my friends. Good night. All you listeners out there tonight with Blood River Radio, thank you so much. God bless you. Pray for us. And if you can, send some donations. Go to bloodriverradio.com, and we have a donation link down there. You can send to our post office box. Thank you so much. Good night, everybody.